WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Jada Lucas.
And I'm Jonah Chester. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, October 2nd, 2017.
And the parents we deal with, they're not necessarily at that point, even though most of us would think, well, how low can you get if your kids are taken away from you? But sometimes that's not the incentive.
WFHB correspondent Cole Stinson takes a look at the difficulties facing the Monroe County Court-Appointed Special Advocates, or CASAs, a group of volunteers helping to represent at-risk children in the courts. As he reports later on in the show, the CASA volunteers are facing increasing caseloads and more children in need of representation due to the ongoing opioid epidemic.
Also coming up in the next hour, initially fueled by her son's utilization of services, Vani Pichel's long-standing involvement at Life Designs has been instrumental in improving their visibility and development efforts. That story coming up on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
The Indiana Association of Beverage Retailers has reaffirmed support for legislation that would permit the carry-out sale of alcohol on Sundays. The support comes weeks before the Indiana General Assembly's Alcohol Code Revision Commission is scheduled to convene for its fourth meeting of the 2017 session. According to IARB Chairman John Cinder, the prohibition of alcohol on Sundays is antiquated and gives an advantage to big box retailers.
Quite simply, Indiana's ban on the carryout sale of alcohol on Sundays is antiquated, and it impacts the small business liquor stores by forcing us to close our doors one day per week. Big box stores and gas stations are already allowed to open their doors on Sunday.
Indiana has not allowed the sale of alcohol on Sundays since before the start of Prohibition in 1920. The last bill to potentially legalize Sunday alcohol sales was House Bill 1624 in 2015, which was killed without receiving a final vote. The Alcohol Code Revision Commission next meets on Friday, October 6th.
The Bloomington Housing Authority's Housing Choice Voucher Program will open tomorrow. According to Housing Choice Voucher Program Manager Daniel Harmon, in order for the city's housing authority to provide voucher assistance, a family may not have income which exceeds 50% of the area's median income. Bloomington's median income is $49,900. To qualify, applicants must make half the median income, which is $21,850. For one person.
Housing vouchers are a form of rental subsidy. It's administered by the Bloomington Housing Authority through Housing and Urban Development. The rental subsidy with the voucher is portable. That means that a tenant or a recipient of that voucher assistance, they can use that anywhere in Monroe County.
Harmon says the first step to apply for a housing voucher is for families to visit bhaindiana.net for rules and explanations on how applicants are chosen. Participants will be notified 5 days prior to registration closing. Harmon says the qualifications of half the area median income is set by federal regulations.
They must meet the income limits that are set by HUD each year, and then they must also pass a criminal background check. For eligibility purposes, a family must be no greater than 50% of area median income. So for a family of one, that is $21,850 for annual income. And for a family of two, that is $25,000 annual.
A press release from the City of Bloomington stated, quote, "The Bloomington Housing Authority offers computer lab access with staff support at the Housing Authority's main office, located at 1007 North Summit Street, as well as the community building at 1002 North Summit Street." Harmon says families requesting a housing voucher must fill out information on the Housing Authority's website, detailing total family income.
any individuals who may not have access to a computer or internet access, or as a reasonable accommodation to persons with disabilities. We do have a computer lab across the street at 1002 North Summit Street. That's right across from our main office. And we will also be assisting anybody who is interested with applying here at the office itself in our community building throughout the entire week of the application process.
Families can see the status of their application online at waitlistcheck.com.
You know, a message I'd like to get out there. This is a great opportunity for anybody in need of rental assistance. It's an easy process to apply online. So anybody who's listening, who is interested, I certainly encourage you to apply. If you know of anybody that's interested in this, you know, word of mouth, please spread the good news that this list is opening up. It's a great service. I know that there's many folks out there that could benefit from this resource. So very pleased to be able to reopen this list for our community.
Any changes to information for applicants needs to be provided to the Bloomington Housing Authority in writing.
Three Fairview Elementary students were found with drugs in school last week. Bloomington police reportedly responded to a call from Fairview administrators after faculty reported seeing the three 10-year-old students with bags of marijuana. The staff also placed a call to the Department of Child Services. According to one of the students, he discovered the drugs on a street intersection, while another reportedly told authorities that one of the other students brought the marijuana from home.
Rock and roll singer, songwriter, and frontman for the Heartbreakers, Thomas Earl Petty, was found dead in his home this morning. Preliminary reports state Petty died from a heart attack in his Santa Monica home. He was 66 years old. Petty often wrote about Indiana and the Midwest in his songs, including the chart-topping Mary Jane's Last Dance.
The city of Bloomington is doing maintenance on fire hydrants. Bloomington Utilities has released a press release over current fire hydrants maintenance. Areas affected will be East Moores Pike, East Roarer Road, South Smith Road, and South High Street. A utilities department press release stated that residents may experience discoloration in water as well as fluctuation in water pressure. Bloomington Utilities recommends that people run cold water until the color of their water changes back to clear. Maintenance is expected to last until Friday, October 6th, if weather permits. For more information, contact the City of Bloomington Utilities at 812-339-1444.
The Indiana Department of Transportation and the State Parks partnered this past Thursday to hold volunteer efforts for public lands. The program was part of a National Public Lands Day, one of the largest volunteer efforts for state parks and other public lands this year. The program was a part of a volunteer program sponsored by the Indiana Department of Transportation. According to NDOT spokesperson Jason Tiller, the program gives NDOT a chance to help Indiana parks.
You know, NDOT, one of the things we pride ourselves on is making sure that we do take care of our assets, and that's not just, you know, NDOT assets, but that assets that, you know, we all use as residents of Indiana. So we want to make sure that whenever we have an opportunity to volunteer, that we take full advantage of that.
More than 100 NDOT employees spent the day volunteering their time and services to Indiana's state parks. They helped to maintain trails, paint structures, and clean lakes at 10 state parks. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Jada Lucas.
And I'm Jonah Chester. Court-appointed special advocates represent the interests of children remanded to the state for custody. Due to the opioid epidemic, CASAs have seen a growing increase in the number of children needing representation. In this WFHB community report, WFHB correspondent Cole Stinson speaks with CASA volunteer Les Watzinski and Monroe County CASA director Kristen Bechet.
Monroe County's current opioid epidemic affects countless individuals within the county. The addicts themselves tend to be the face of the problem, but if they have children, they're suffering as well. Court-appointed special advocates, or CASA, have over 2 times the cases compared to last year within Monroe County. The volunteer-based program represents child victims of abuse in juvenile court. They cooperate with the Department of Child Services, or DCS. CASA investigates and checks in with families reported to the DCS. CASA volunteer Les Wadzinski says what CASA does is essential.
The parents will generally have an attorney, oftentimes mm-hmm. a public defender, and the Department of Child Services has their attorney, but, you know, the kids actually don't have an attorney. And so we go to court, and, you know, there's periodic hearings and so on, and we're asked to present our findings to the judge, and, you know, the rights are that the child in need of services is in a place where they're safe, and that there's some future plan going on as to either reunification with the family if the parents can get their act together, or an adoption process. And so we're there to make sure that all that happens.
While the number of cases the organization is handling has spiked, their number of volunteers has not been able to keep up. Because of this, they have a wait list of over 100 children. Director Kristen Bechet says because of this lack of manpower, the court isn't getting all the information they need, and children aren't being represented. The court forces opioid-addicted parents to get treatment if they want to regain custody of their children. Bechet believes forcing them to get sober doesn't help, and it only makes kids suffer.
The person has to be at a point where they really want it to happen and really buy into it. And the parents we deal with, they're not necessarily at that point, even though most of us would think, well, how low can you get if your kids are taken away from you? But sometimes that's not the incentive. And so we're not necessarily getting the parents where we need them to address the addictions, but they have to because the kids are, you know, the kids are in the system. And so it's just the timing of all that just doesn't really work, and it's a real barrier. And I don't know if any of us have a real answer to it, because you don't want these kids languishing in foster care 3, 4, 5 years until the parents can get really clean.
Wodzinski has seen many similar scenarios. Working with the addicts can be a struggle.
We'll sit these parents down and say, you know, you've got to get off the drugs. You know, you're not taking care of your kids. They don't have any food, you know, they don't have any clothing. I mean, you guys are homeless, or you're sleeping in a car. You can't do this. And if you want your kids back, you have to straighten up. And the government does provide counseling, and at the taxpayer's expense. You know, we have sent many people to drug rehab and stuff, but oftentimes they just can't do it.
As a result of parents working with addiction, their kids get put through hell. CASA has had numerous cases involving children being trafficked for sex to make drug money. Bechet says interacting with addicts' kids can be sobering.
They don't have the innocence that we would want our children to have at certain ages, and that's unfortunate. But we also learned that we've got to speak to them directly and honestly. And if you try to sugarcoat things, they're going to see right through it. Because, hey, you know, I've been there. I've been living this. You say, well, let's protect them from cruel reality. Well, they've been living the cruel reality. So what are you protecting them from?
What could help this issue is having earlier intervention. Indiana law says a child must be seriously hurt or endangered before mediation can be made. Bechet says other states allow for intervention when it is believed a child is at substantial risk. Because of this, CASA can know a parent is using, but they have to wait until a member of the community alerts them of abuse. By depending on alerts from the community, Bechet says a lot of kids could be receiving abuse without anyone speaking up. It can be like they're forgotten.
When people talk about the opioid epidemic, very rarely do they bring to the forefront how it's affecting the children. And for every, you know, overdose you see in the newspaper, I can assure you there's got to be family and kids and all out there that are struggling and trying to regroup after this. The effect is just exponential when you start thinking about the kids that are involved in it all.
Reporting for WFHB, this is Cole Stinson.
More information about the Court-Appointed Special Advocates Program is available at MonroeCountyCASA.org.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at MPISolarEnergy.com.
Support also comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service. now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Now, it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
Hi, I'm Vani Peischel, and I volunteer with Life Designs. What got me involved is that I have an adult son with disabilities, and he's been served by Life Designs for the last 23 years. And in 1994, I helped him get an apartment, and Life Designs came in and helped him live in his apartment, helped him get out into the community. They've been working with him ever since. It's just amazing to me how much these people do, and they come in and help my son with his cooking, help him with taking care of his apartment, help him get out into the community, do volunteer activities. He has health issues, so they have to make sure he gets his medications on time. They have to make sure that he's feeling all right, or call a nurse in if he isn't. They get him out for his exercise every day. Just everything that they do, and the least I can do is volunteer some hours and some of my own time to help them out. I'm on the board for Life Designs, and I have been off and on for most of that 23 years. But I also help with fundraising activities. I like to help with events when there are social events for the staff or for the customers, like my son. And I like to let them know that I'm supporting them for everything that they do. I like to think that because I do that so often and I'm telling people about what I'm involved in so often, that other people are learning more about Life Designs and what they do, and they know about the story with my son. I've always wanted my son to be as independent as he can be, and that's what I encourage other parents to do. They, you know, so many of us take care of our person with disabilities, but they need, down the road, they're going to need care from others. So that's what I try to tell other people. I'd like other families with people with disabilities to know that there is help for them, and to whatever extent they want that help. At least 50% of the board members are people with disabilities or family members. That's required on our board. I do talk to other families. In fact, I have a group of women friends who have family members with disabilities that I meet with monthly, and we talk about our grown-up kids and the issues that involve them. And I'm you know, often talking about what the services are with Life Designs. People at Life Designs who work there and provide these services often tell me how much they appreciate how I get involved, and I try to get to know the people that work there. And the thing, of course, on the board, I learn a lot about the challenges that they have. And it's really helpful if the families get involved too. I really like these people. They're just so giving, and they're intelligent, they're fun. They really like their customers, their friends, and help them live as normal lives as you and I have. And we all deserve that. That's why I really just like to go there almost on a daily basis and talk to the people that work there and see how things are going, what I can do to help. Thanks for listening. I'm Vani Peischel with Life Designs.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. Attendees of the Nonprofit Board Certificate Seminar on October 19th will gain a better understanding of the roles and responsibilities of board members, including legal, financial, and how to find the best fit for you. All levels of experience are encouraged to attend. Or help students get real as a volunteer with the Chamber's Reality Store. You are needed on October 13th to host one of 16 stations during this real-life simulation, when middle school students will be challenged to determine how to spend their salaries and make ends meet, budgeting for transportation, housing, clothes, food, and other essentials. Two shifts are available and meals are provided. And finally, the 2017 Great Glass Pumpkin Patch arrives on October 14th. Your help is needed between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. on the Courthouse Square to set up, tear down, and host the event. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Alex Davis, Jonah Chester, and Wes Martin. Our feature was produced by Cole Stinson.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Michael Glab. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
And I'm Jada Lucas. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to iTunes Store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.